This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And now we're looking at the outcome of the National Solutions Forum 2022 and what we learned from it. The forum itself is an initiative by Sunway Group and the Sustainable Development Solutions Network Malaysia to showcase the most impactful solutions to sustainable development goals related challenges in Malaysia. Now, this is something we covered before the event, but now that the winner has been announced, that was on April 28th, we wanted to look into it and look into the results. Joining us to do that is Professor Wu Wing Tai, Vice President for Asia and Head of SDSN's Kuala Lumpur office. Professor Wu, thanks for speaking with us. So the winner was announced on April 28th, but before we get to that, talk to us about the process of narrowing it down to the 9 shortlisted solutions.
Well, we started off with 39 very interesting and highly creative solutions. So to make sure that we have process of selection that would be balanced, we had 6 different people to look at the 39 solutions independently. All these 6 judges were told that, first of all, think about how clever is the idea. The second one is, can this idea work when it is scaled up? In other words, when you cook something on a small pan, does it cook well when it's in a big pot? So how scale up? And the third thing is, if we do manage to scale it up, what will its impact be on the community? Then the final thing we look at is, would this innovation be self-supporting in that it would be able to generate enough of a revenue stream so that it could continue operating without the need for a government subsidy? So these are the 4 main areas. And on the basis of that, we took an average of the 6 sets of scores. Then we ranked them. Then we took the top 20 and talked through each of them within the committee. In other words, we met again. So to make sure that we all agree that the top 9 deserves to be the top 9 and not just because of some people give higher points than other people. And we were able to converge on 9 very, very clever proposals.
So among the submissions, what were some of the major themes that came through? What problems were people interested in addressing?
Well, 2 common parts. One is the use of modern technology, especially digital technology. For example, one person used AI to predict the probability of flooding in particular areas. So that was certainly a program that required the technology to integrate not only meteorological information, but also the topographical location. In other words, is it a hilly area? Is it one that is shaped like a bowl, so the water is easily blocked? And then able to, on the basis of the amount of urbanization that has occurred, what's the probability of a flood in that location? So that was certainly very digital technology focused. In general, people had a new technological anger. One thing that they had in common was these people spent a lot of time thinking, how would this help the poorest members of the community? One would have thought that these people would be thinking of, would this make a lot of money? But that was not the common feature. The common feature was having an impact on the livelihood of the local community.
So the winner was Cray Chong for his Power by Rise initiative. What stood out about what they were proposing?
One thing for sure, it's certainly meeting a very important need, because the biggest generator of CO2 is in the electricity generation. The second is in the transportation sector and the manufacturing sector. So this person, Cray Chong's innovation, is to come up with a low-cost charging station. So it means that all the vehicles don't have to burn petrol directly. They were able to get electricity to run. And so all we need to do is to turn the generation of electricity from fossil fuel to green energy. So just by changing the transportation to being electric vehicles, it makes the task of achieving Malaysia's goal of net zero emissions by 2050 a much easier one. Instead of having a solar panel generator in each car, you just make every car an electric vehicle. So that was a very good idea. It also presents a growth opportunity for Malaysia. Proton Saga has not succeeded in exporting itself, but when Proton turns into an electrical vehicle producer, it is entering into a new field. So it will be able to compete with the best that exists, possibly not at the upper end, like against Tesla. But Tesla is very pricey. We need a low-cost electric vehicle. And so this will be great support to the Malaysian electric car industry. The most important thing to note about this particular proposal is that the electric charging station will cost only Malaysian $2,500 instead of $8,000, which is what the cost of most present charging stations.
So on the other hand, right, the warming up initiative by Tan Pei Chin won the People's Choice Award. Tell us more.
Oh, this Tan Pei Chin base, she was really bothered by the fact that waste disposal in isolated villages is a very difficult problem. For example, plastic bags. So what she did is to come up with solutions for different kinds of waste in villages, waste that cannot be easily transported out. For organic waste, she talks about the turning them into compost to be used in agriculture and other cash crops. And for plastics, she talked about turning them into souvenirs or making them part of building material so that these things are upcycled, recycled into other usable products and products that are potentially income generating for these rural villages. Like, for example, turning the plastic bags into later souvenir gadgets that could be sold, and helping the building of better homes in their villages by turning them into building material. So that was a very clever project.
Now, among the 9 solutions, there was a focus on vulnerable, rural and indigenous communities. Why is it important to center these groups when we talk about sustainable plans in our country?
I think most of the people who send in proposals are actually quite young people. Well, I presume at my age, everyone looks very young. But like I said, the common focus is that they were on how to help the marginalized communities. For example, the geographically marginalized. What we have read in the newspapers about a student having to climb a tree in order to get good Wi-Fi reception so that she can attend classes. So if we are able to develop better Wi-Fi projection technology to these villages, like, for example, Wi-Fi through satellites, it would certainly stop turning education into a monkey business in that people have to climb trees in order to go to school. So there were solutions of how to help the geographically isolated communities. That's why, like the waste, like the people's choice solution, how to help these people to get rid of their waste in ecologically sound manner. Then there are things, proposals that aim to help those who are health disadvantaged. For example, people who are sick, how are we able to allow them to see doctors cheaper? Or migrant workers who speak a language that is not one of our 3 major languages. Like, there was this person who had an app called Click for Care, in which migrant workers are able to access doctors who can speak to them in their mother tongue. And then there are solutions that talk about improving the nutrition of the poor. And this particular kind of focus on the marginalized communities was certainly the most optimistic message that I got from this competition, in that the people who are into coming up with clever ideas are interested in that the ideas serve their communities and possibly earns a good income as one of the side effects. So doing good and doing well was combined very imaginatively in many of these proposals that we were privileged to consider.
A lot of the solutions, right, one of the things that I was thinking about, they included some element of fun or creativity. For instance, the gamification of reusable bags, mini carnivals and artwork used to educate children. Do you think these are important to have in terms of reaching out and getting more people involved in sustainability?
Oh, yes. The thing is, when we, there's 17 sustainable development goals. They are goals because these are problems that have not been solved, and they have not been solved because they involved a lot of work. Sometimes it involves the need to create new technology, but many times it also involves the need to have new organizational forms so that we socially we adopt norms that allow us to achieve these goals. So I think that this approach that we have is a very important first step to be able to come up with new ideas on how to achieve the 17 Sustainable Development Goals.
Now, the integration of technology was also very interesting, right? We've already talked about the e-vehicle charging, but some solutions also looked at flood forecasting, healthcare platforms for migrant workers. How do you see this developing further?
We hope to bring to the attention of investors that these ideas are ideas that not only create high social returns, but also equally high economic returns. So we that's why in the selection process of this 39 submission, the economic viability of each of the project was looked at very closely. So we are able to put together in a package, doing good and doing well. They are the same thing for these solutions that we are bringing to their attention.
And if we look at it more broadly, right, what else might need to happen to bridge the digital divide in our country and make solutions like these even wider reaching?
Well, clearly, we need not just the private sector to be funding these proposals. There will be a need for government incentives to promote the adoption of the new technology that's proposed. Like, for example, the power charging stations. It's true the price is much lower, like I said, 2005 instead of 8,000. I think it's a good idea for the government to encourage the setting up of these power stations on a commercial, on a big scale, by offering tax incentives at the very beginning of this process. And once the market realizes that these are good economic projects, then the incentives could be stopped. So it's like a pump priming. To get the process going, the government got to come in to give a helping hand to the invisible hand of the market.
So what happens next for the winner of the National Solutions Forum?
What we hope, of course, is that they would get the attention of potential investors. But what we want to do is we want to encourage every country in Asia to galvanize the creative talent of its population, to focus their attention on how to help the marginalized communities in their countries. Malaysia is the first Asian country to come up with a national solutions forum. SDSN Asia will now encourage its membership to study the Malaysian template of how we have done it so that other Asian countries start having their own national solutions forum. And we hope that we will promote this further by having an Asia-wide solutions forum. And we hope to be able to get sponsorship from the big philanthropists and company and business groups in the region so that we are able to offer attractive prices to encourage the work of these socially committed young people to come up with solutions that help their community as well as to create new industries for the development of their countries.
And in closing, what future plans does SDSN Malaysia have in store?
One of the areas that we are working on is SDG education. Specifically, we are the home for the SDG Academy, which makes online courses on different aspects of sustainable education. And these online courses are designed by global experts. And SDSN Malaysia is turning many of these courses into Bahasa Malaysia because we have to localize the solutions to the Malaysian audience. And we have a project known as Mission 4.7 that is examining the national curriculum of Malaysia from the primary level up to the secondary level. And we are seeing how to strengthen the components on sustainable development in the curriculum. Another big activity of SDSN Asia is the ASEAN Green Future Project, in which we not only emphasize on the decarbonization of production system and the energy system. We also talk about how to promote sustainable use of the land. For example, how to make a palm oil be more compatible with the preservation of biodiversity. And we also talk about green urbanization. We are also working on the development of a data dashboard to track the progress of SDGs, not only at the national level, but at the state level. So the SDG dashboard is a very important part of our work as well.
Professor Wu, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Professor Wu Wing Tai, Vice President for Asia and Head of SDSN's Kuala Lumpur office, talking to us today about the outcome, the winner, really, of the National Solutions Forum 2022, but also the nine finalists that were a part of this. And let us know, I mean, how are you feeling, really, about having some possible solutions to the SDG challenges that we face in our country? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.